Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Families USA's Calibrating COVID-19 Policies to Protect Families. My name is Lisa Holland, and I'm the Senior Communications Manager for Families USA. The COVID-19 crisis requires bold action from Congress to ensure families' health and economic security during the pandemic and beyond. Today, we are going to discuss the critical policy priorities Congress must focus on in the next relief package. We're very pleased to be joined by the Honorable Bob Casey, U.S. Senator for Pennsylvania, Frederick Assassi, the Executive Director of Families USA, Lee Saunders, President of AFSCME, Dara Lieberman, Director of Government Relations, Trust for America's Health, Bill Kramer, Executive Director for National Health Policy, Pacific Business Group on Health, Keisha Brooks Cooley, Vice President, Federal Advocacy and Strategic Alliances at the American Cancer Society, Cancer Action Network, and Stephen Lopez, Director of Health Policy from UNIDOS US. And following their remarks, we will take questions. We will be recording this telebriefing today, and we'll send that around afterwards. And now I'm going to turn it over to Frederick.
Thanks, Lisa, very much, and thanks to everyone who has joined us. From all the staff here at Families USA and our partners, we hope that you and your loved ones are very safe during this difficult crisis. It's my honor to introduce Senator Casey to this telebriefing. It's hard to think of a more dedicated and effective champion for our nation's families, and in particular our nation's children, than Senator Casey. He's in a very powerful position in the Senate, sitting on both Senate Finance Committee and Health Committee, which have primary jurisdiction over health care, as well as many key support programs like unemployment insurance. And Senator Casey has been a tireless champion to protect our nation's health care, to ensure that children have access to high-quality education, to protect families' access to nutrition programs, and to protect and grow jobs for families in Pennsylvania and across the nation. During this very difficult health and economic crisis, we've never needed a champion like Senator Casey more, and it's just a pleasure to have him join us. Thank you, Senator Casey, so much for joining us.
Well, Frederick, thanks very much for having me on the call, and thanks for the good work that Families USA is doing. And I know that among our other speakers, the person I probably know the best is Lee Saunders, and I want to say hello to Lee, and I want to thank all the other speakers who will follow me. I'll try to be as brief as possible, but this is an urgent issue, the issue of health care coverage during this pandemic, and I want to thank Families USA for their leading role in that focus. We know that since the beginning of this terrible virus, tens of millions of Americans have lost their job, and that usually means losing your health care coverage as well. Access to quality, affordable health care is always important and always a necessity, but now you have both the combination of the pandemic as well as the president and his party, and I hope there is some exception to this, but I haven't heard one yet. They're all on the same team with supporting the lawsuit, which is in front of the Supreme Court, which will decimate the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, and that means the protections that guarantee someone has coverage for a pre-existing condition. They're also on board with the proposed cuts to Medicare and Medicaid over the next 10 years of more than $1 trillion, and they've been on that same team for a couple of years now. Thank goodness we haven't enacted those cuts, but they keep trying year after year, budget after budget. Democrats are working to build upon the foundation we have and guarantee that no one is prohibited from getting the care they need, especially during times like this time of pain and anguish and death. We want to make sure that we're doing everything possible to cover more people and to provide good care. Obviously, when it comes to programs, Medicaid is central to this, the Children's Health Insurance Program, and, of course, the Affordable Care Act marketplaces. Medicaid is a program that I think we should be not just affirming and celebrating, but also using as a vehicle to cover more people during this pandemic. There is no reason why anyone diagnosed with COVID-19 should have to worry about paying for that treatment as long as we have a Medicaid program. We should use Medicaid for that purpose, among other purposes. We also need an increase in Medicaid dollars for home and community-based services and long-term care supports, especially for nursing homes. But on the health care, the general health care front, I introduced legislation, the Ensuring Treatment for COVID-19 Act, which would enable anyone who is uninsured or underinsured to get treatment for the care relating to COVID-19. This would give a lot of Americans peace of mind that they're going to have the care that they need without the financial burden. We also need to increase the federal Medicaid matching rate. The Families First bill has included a part of this with a 6.2% increase in the FMAP. But the HEROES Act passed by the House on May 15th would increase this to 14%. I think that's what about the range or the percentage the governors have advocated for of both parties. The Senate should act on this legislation and pass it for lots of reasons, but the FMAP dollars are critically important to states. We should also guarantee that current protections for Medicaid beneficiaries. At this time, continuity of care and a beneficiary's ability to depend upon their Medicaid coverage is more important than ever. We must also act to ensure that children have adequate health care coverage. The federal government currently provides a higher than usual match for the CHIP program. This enhanced match has been in place since Congress last extended funding for CHIP. Unfortunately, the enhanced match is set to expire in October, and if that happens and we're still fighting the virus, as we almost assuredly will be, it means the federal government will decrease its support for children's health insurance during this crisis. That is totally unacceptable. Finally, I just highlight legislation that I'm going to be introducing, the Children's Health Insurance Program Pandemic Enhancement and Relief Act. It allows us to use yet another acronym, not just CHIP, but CHIPPER, C-H-I-P-P-E-R. This legislation will extend the enhanced federal match for CHIP for an extra year for states that take certain steps to maintain an enhanced enrollment in CHIP. Finally, we've got to act and support the Affordable Care Act marketplace. The obsession that Republicans have had with sabotaging the Affordable Care Act, starting with President Trump's first day in office, by the way, one of his first, if not the first, executive order. All of that has damaged our ability to provide health care. And the administration has refused to open up healthcare.gov for a special enrollment period. That's a big mistake. I continue to urge them to do that. I have a bill that would require all commercial insurers to establish a 30-day extendable special enrollment period for anyone who wants to sign up on the exchanges during the public health emergency. But this should be done by the president. We shouldn't have to force him by an act of Congress. He could do this right now. He has all the power to do that, but he, for whatever reason, is refusing to do that. And I would hope some Republicans would urge him to do that. I don't know where their voice is. They seem to have loud voices for repealing the Affordable Care Act, loud voices for cutting Medicare and Medicaid by $1 trillion, but I don't know where their voice is when it comes to expanding health care coverage, protecting our children, protecting seniors, and protecting the Affordable Care Act exchanges. But I applaud Families USA for bringing this needed focus on health care coverage during this terrible time for the country, and I look forward to working with all of you on this important task. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Senator Casey. And I'm going to turn it back over to Frederick as he's going to discuss the three policy priorities that Families USA wants Congress to focus on.
Thank you, Lisa, very, very much. As many people know, our mission at Families USA is to ensure the best health and healthcare are equally accessible and affordable to all in our nation. And on behalf of Families USA, I want to speak very plainly. Our nation is facing one of the greatest threats we have ever experienced, period. Yesterday, a terrible threshold was crossed, and over 100,000 of our people, our parents, our grandparents, our brothers and sisters, our friends, our neighbors, and our children have died from this devastating illness. Unforgivably, the U.S. accounts for more than one-fourth of all of the world's deaths from COVID-19. And making the situation even more dire, our nation has plummeted into a profound economic recession, and more than 41 million Americans have lost their jobs, a breathtaking quarter of the entire workforce. People are trying to protect their health and are watching their economic stability unravel. Families USA has been joined today by our key partners representing the people of our nation, the businesses of this nation, and the workers on the front lines of this epidemic. And we are here to say loud and clear to Congress and to the President, we need action, we need bold and decisive action, and we need it now. Congress must act to protect people's health and provide our families with financial security during this economic crisis. Specifically, Congress must act to provide coverage, state financial support, and a coordinated national response to the pandemic. Let's just take each one of these one by one. First, during this health and economic crisis, as we just heard Senator Casey so eloquently discuss, Congress must ensure that America's families, all families, have access to comprehensive, affordable health coverage. This will ensure they can both stay and get healthy and protect their already fragile financial situations. Second, Congress must provide hundreds of billions of dollars to support state responses to the pandemic. States are at the front lines of providing health, safety, food programs, and so much more to their residents. At the same time they're trying to serve their people, states' entire source of revenue is being crushed by the recession. States need federal funding to staff pandemic response, save jobs, and help hard-pressed residents. Third, the only way that we can effectively restart the economy and protect lives is to ensure that our best scientific strategies are driving the response effort. Congress must act now to demand and fund a coordinated national response. As we've all seen all over the globe, the countries that aggressively test, trace, and assist individuals to isolate when infected have been able to stem the tide of infections and deaths and have been able to restart their economies more quickly and more effectively. Coverage, funding for states, and a coordinated national response. The time for action on these priorities is overdue, and we are calling on Congress to act now. I'd welcome any questions at all on these priorities at the end of the telebriefing. And next, I'd like to turn the floor over to Lee Saunders, the president of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. This powerful union represents 1.4 million working Americans in communities across the nation, serving in hundreds of different occupations, from nurses to correction officers, child care providers to sanitation workers. So many are on the front line workers who we have never been more essential to the strength and safety of our communities. Lee, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Frederick, for this opportunity, and I want to give a shout out to our good friend, Senator Casey, for the leadership that he shows every single day. As Frederick said, AFSCME is a union of 1.4 million public service workers nationwide. We are your nurses and paramedics, your corrections officers and home care providers, your school custodians and sanitation workers. We are the everyday heroes standing courageously on the front lines of this pandemic. With the economy in freefall and revenues drying up, these workers are on the chopping block. They're risking their lives to protect their neighbors, but they are being thanked with pink slips. There have already been layoffs and furloughs, with the looming threat of even more. Keep our frontline fighters on the job. It's critical that Congress act quickly to provide at least $1 trillion in aid to states, cities, and towns. It's the only way to maintain the essential services that keep our communities running, everything from public safety to health care to transportation. The only way to keep this recession from becoming a depression. It's the only way to defeat COVID-19 and safely reopen the economy. The aid package from Congress can and must extend and increase the federal share of Medicaid costs. With thousands of new coronavirus cases every day, states are facing exploding demand for Medicaid services and will until the economy recovers. And increasing this federal match has proven to soften the blow of previous recessions. We also need resources to support testing, tracing, and treatment. And we need to protect and expand the Affordable Care Act, including COBRA subsidies for people who've lost their jobs. If we don't pass a huge package of aid for states, cities, and towns, it will shatter our communities. It will mean our hospitals are overwhelmed and understaffed. It will mean our schools don't have the resources to educate our kids. It will mean our water supply is compromised, our garbage doesn't get collected, and our roads fall into disrepair. These are not partisan issues. This isn't about red and blue. It's about right and wrong. This is good politics and good public policy. And right now, in the middle of an unprecedented public health and economic crisis, it's a moral imperative. The need is urgent, and the stakes are high. We must fund the front lines. Thank you very much, Frederick.
Thank you so much, Lee, and really appreciate those comments. It's very important as we're seeing, and we're going to continue to see even more with the rest of our speakers why Congress needs to act now. Like to turn it over to Dara. Dara, please go ahead.
Thank you, Lisa. My name is Dara Lieberman. I'm the Director of Government Relations for Trust for America's Health, where I lead our federal advocacy efforts. We envision a nation that values the health and well-being of all and where prevention and health equity are foundational to policymaking. You can see all of our policy recommendations in a COVID issue brief we released this week on our website, tfah.org. And you can also find our annual reports on public health preparedness there. We agree with Frederick and Lee that an effective public health response is essential to the economic recovery of our communities. We must ensure that we're containing each outbreak and disrupting chains of transmission. So as people go back to work, we can trace each case and help people safely stay home if they come in contact with somebody who's sick. We must invest in the public health infrastructure and workforce to respond effectively to COVID-19, but also to prepare for the next health threat. Our organization found that the nation's ability to respond to COVID-19 is rooted in our level of public health investment over the past two decades. We've been caught in this cycle of attention when there's an outbreak or an emergency, followed by complacency and disinvestment in public health preparedness, infrastructure, and workforce. And you can just look at after the last recession, we lost 56,000 local public health physicians. And we anticipate great losses following this recession or during this recession. So in order to safely reopen the economy and keep families safe, we must have significant investment in the next legislative package for a robust public health response. So that includes expanding diagnostic testing, hiring the workforce and technology to conduct effective contact tracing, supporting people who will have to stay home as a result of contact tracing, and eventually the administration of a COVID vaccine. We must also invest in public health infrastructure moving forward. If we learn any lessons from this, is that we cannot continue to protect our communities without a strong public health system. Our organization was joined by over 160 others in recommending a $4.5 billion annual investment in cross-cutting public health capabilities so every community is protected by a comprehensive public health system. And thank you to Families USA for including me in this day of action. I'll turn it back to Lisa.
Wonderful. Thank you, Dara Lieberman. Great to have Trust for America's Health on and get that perspective. Next, we're going to hear from Bill Kramer, and he is with Pacific Business Group on Health. Bill, go right ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon or morning, depending on where you're staying, hopefully safe at home. This is Bill Kramer. I'm Executive Director for Health Policy at the Pacific Business Group on Health. PBGH is a not-for-profit public benefit organization consisting of large public and private purchasers of health care across the nation. As all of you know, more than half of our country's families receive their health coverage through an employer. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, however, an unprecedented number, more than 40 million, have lost their jobs in just the last few weeks. We believe employers have a central and critical role to play in continuing to ensure that America's families have access to high-quality, affordable health care. To address this crisis, we believe the most important single step in the short run would be to subsidize COBRA coverage offered to laid-off workers. The subsidy should last through the duration of the crisis. Enabling people to maintain their current coverage is particularly beneficial for those in the middle of a course of treatment, people needing continued management of chronic conditions, pregnant women, and people who have been furloughed but expect to return to their work in the near future. This would also help Americans who have already met their deductible in 2020 to avoid being forced to pick a new plan with a new deductible, an especially important policy consideration given the devastating economic impact of COVID-19. In the longer term, it's critical that policymakers consider not just the importance of ensuring access to affordable coverage for everyone, but also take meaningful steps to curtail high and rising healthcare costs. Our healthcare system, as all of you know, is rife with unnecessary spending, poor resource allocation, and unsustainably high prices. As the primary private and public sector payers for healthcare, we are deeply concerned that the long-term outcomes of COVID-19 could be an even more rapid increase in prices and greater healthcare industry consolidation. Thus, we believe it's vital that federal policymakers pair long-term health coverage policies with policies that seek to reduce healthcare prices and increase the value for consumers and those who purchase health benefits on their behalf. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Really appreciate those comments. Next, we have Keisha Brooks Cawley from the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. Keisha, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Lisa. Good afternoon. Keisha Brooks Cawley, Vice President of Federal Advocacy with the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network is the advocacy arm of the American Cancer Society and is the voice of millions of cancer patients nationwide. I want to just briefly to thank Frederick, Lisa, and Families USA for convening this important conversation this afternoon, and also to Senator Casey for prioritizing health and economic security for families nationwide. While COVID-19 has clearly touched the lives of most across the country, those impacted by cancer may be at heightened risk due to their compromised immune systems, as well as the potential delays in treatment and care. At the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, we are hearing firsthand from patients, survivors, and their loved ones about the barriers to care that are being erected by the COVID-19 pandemic. ACS CAN released yesterday the second in a series of surveys that found 79% of cancer patients experienced some delay in accessing health care, up from 27% a month ago. The survey also found 46% of cancer patients and survivors have experienced a change in their ability to pay for care, and nearly a quarter, 23%, worry about losing their health care insurance. Evidence has shown over and over again that insurance status is inextricably linked to cancer outcomes. Those who are insured and diagnosed at earlier stages when the disease is less expensive to treat and survival likelihood is greater. We know the COVID-19 pandemic has jeopardized patient access to health coverage and, by extension, access to timely and potentially life-saving health care. To remove barriers to care, the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network is urging Congress to reinforce and build up the safety net of comprehensive coverage through a special enrollment period on healthcare.gov, COBRA subsidies, and increased funding for state Medicaid programs, some of the issues that my colleagues have also mentioned during this call. We firmly believe that where you live should not determine your access to healthcare, especially at this time of national crisis. The federal government oversees the individual health exchange in 38 states, and opening up a 60-day special enrollment period would help citizens in every state fight the virus as well as tend to other critical and timely health needs. We just heard our colleague Bill address COBRA issues, and COBRA subsidies for 6 months should enable individuals and families who depend on employer-sponsored coverage to be able to maintain continuity of care without renewed cost sharing that comes with new plans. Many cancer patients in active treatment have already met their annual out-of-pocket max for health care received in the early part of the year and simply cannot afford to start over. We also know many individuals who have or will lose their employer sponsor coverage are without the means to purchase other coverage and will be turning to Medicaid. Raising the federal medical assistance percentage to 14% would help provide essential support to states as healthcare services are sought by the tens of millions of children, parents, people with disabilities, and seniors who need access to care. Dependable, affordable health coverage is critical for cancer patients in a crisis and beyond. That is why ACS-CAN continues to call on Congress to take steps to preserve access to employer, individual, and Medicaid health coverage. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Keisha. Really appreciate that. And now we're going to have Stephen Lopez from UNIDOS. Stephen, go right ahead.
Thank you, Lisa, and thank you to Families USA for inviting UNIDOS US to participate in today's conversation. For those who may not be familiar with my organization, you may have known us by our former name, the National Council of La Raza. Now over 50 years old, UNIDOS US remains the nation's largest Latino civil rights and advocacy organization, working to increase opportunities for the nation's nearly 60 million Latinos. As Frederick noted in his remarks, our country reached a grim milestone yesterday with over 100,000 deaths due to COVID-19. And as more data is reported, we are increasingly seeing that Black and brown communities are especially being hit hard. According to recently released data from the CDC, Latinos account for nearly 30% of confirmed COVID-19 cases in the U.S., as well as 47% of all cases among children. Black Americans account for 26% of COVID cases, and their mortality rate from COVID-19 is nearly 2.5 times as high as the rate for whites. And we know that many in our communities are on the front lines providing essential services. It is imperative that the Senate act with an approach that is as bold and inclusive as possible. And we know there is support for such an approach. Findings from a recent UNIDOS US poll in partnership with Somos Healthcare and MoveOn affirmed the heightened need for a national response like the HEROES Act that Senator Casey mentioned that the House recently passed, and that meaningfully addressed the health and economic inequities faced by the Latino community and many of their fellow Americans. We know that the pandemic has shown a bright light on longstanding inequities faced by communities of color. Latinos, for example, remain one of the most uninsured communities nationwide, with around 19% of Latinos uninsured compared to 5% of non-Hispanic whites. Failure to fill these remaining gaps is especially dangerous at a time when Latinos, particularly children, continue to experience high uninsured rates and positive COVID-19 diagnoses. Given the urgency of the problem, now is the time for immediate and bold action. We must continue to push for provisions that guarantee testing and treatment to all, regardless of immigration status. We must continue to push to protect, strengthen, and expand Medicaid, which provides coverage to approximately 18 million Latinos. And we must continue to push for smart policies that advance racial equity, like those included in the recently introduced Health Equity and Accountability Act of 2020. Congress has an opportunity to write a new playbook on how we as a nation respond to a public health crisis, one that is centered on equity and the needs and experiences of our increasingly diverse nation. Such an approach is not only good for our communities, but for the overall health and economic security of our country. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Really appreciate your remarks. And thank you to all of our speakers for weighing in on this important topic. Now we're going to turn it over to questions. So, Katie, our operator, we are ready for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, star 1 for questions. We'll take our first question from Jesse Hellman with The Hill.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi, thanks for doing this call. I'm not sure if this senator is still on, but if he is, I was just hoping he could talk a bit about what more Congress needs to do on the mental health issue. A lot of experts have said that what Congress has done so far is not enough, and there's a looming crisis of mental health disorders coming as people continue dealing with the pandemic.
Okay, I know that he did have to hop off. I think there is someone from his staff that's on, but I am flagging this so that we can have them follow up with you offline, Jesse.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Once again, star one if you would like to ask a question. There are no additional questions in the queue at this time.
Great. Thanks again to our speakers, and thanks to all of our participants for joining us. I want to just mention very quickly that for more information on Families USA's COVID-19 response and resources, please check out familiesusa.org or at Families USA on social. Thanks, everyone. Please stay safe.